You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Thursday, May 1st. The following stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Pacific Seafood's lawsuit against the Port of Peninsula in Nakata appears to be moving once again. Originally filed in October of 2023, the lawsuit lodges multiple allegations at the port, including failure to properly manage finances, violations of Washington's Public Records Act and Open Public Meetings Act, and other failures to comply with state and federal laws. Over the past year, the lawsuit progressed very little through the Pacific County Superior Court. But on April 18th, attorneys for the Port of Peninsula filed a motion to compel discovery responses. The motion alleges that Pacific Seafood has dodged providing relevant responses for 486 days, and that their response thus far has been, quote, grossly deficient. The two sides were initially scheduled to appear for a hearing last week, but Pacific Seafood's legal team was unavailable. The hearing has been reset for tomorrow. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson recently signed a bill into law that will formally establish a research program for the control of burrowing shrimp at the State Department of Agriculture. Burrowing shrimp pose a major threat to small and medium-sized oyster farms because they tunnel beneath mudflats and turn otherwise ideal bottom culture habitat into shellfish-suffocating quicksand. The new bill gives the Integrated Pest Management Working Group an official home within Washington State's bureaucracy. The working group's goal is to create an integrated approach to shrimp control that minimizes the use of chemicals. Kathleen Nisbet Monsey is a fourth-generation oyster farmer at Goose Point Oysters and also president of the Willapa Grays Harbor Oyster Growers Association. She says the way the group was structured before, it could not apply for grants or receive federal money. But Nisbet Monsey says the new formalizing of the group will now allow that possibility. A recall effort against Pacific County Commissioner Lisa Olson is now heading to the Washington State Supreme Court. The group leading the effort, who call themselves the Recall Rangers, had their original complaint against Olson approved by a Pacific County Superior Court judge in early April. It alleged Olson and other Pacific County leaders held unlawful executive sessions on multiple occasions last year. Olson's legal team quickly filed a motion to reconsider that approval, arguing that allegations regarding Open Public Meeting Act violations were false. The recall group's attorney then filed a countermotion, and in response, one of Olson's attorneys filed a notice of direct appeal to the state Supreme Court on April 22nd. Under Washington state law, the process should be expedited because it involves a sitting elected official, but it's still unclear what time frame the Supreme Court's review will fall under. Olson can legally use public funds for her legal defense costs. This fall, the price for an annual Washington State Discover Pass could increase to $45. A new bill pushing for the $15 increase still needs to be signed by Washington Governor Bob Ferguson. In Pacific County, the State Discover Pass is usable at Fort Columbia and Cape Disappointment. This would be the first increase to the price of the pass since it was introduced over a decade ago. Democratic lawmakers say the increase would help protect state parks from drastic cuts amid the multi-billion dollar deficit the state is currently facing. Revenue from the pass goes primarily to Washington State Parks, but also to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and the State Department of Natural Resources. The increase would take effect on October 1st. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. Following a dismal November election for their party, Democrats across the country are now scrambling to respond to President Donald Trump's policies. Some U.S. senators are announcing retirement plans. But Oregon Senator Ron Wyden says he isn't going anywhere. Bryce Dole reports.
Wyden plans to run for re-election in 2028. That's according to his spokesman. Wyden is the senior member of Oregon's congressional delegation. He turned 76 on Saturday, and he would be 79 when he runs again. Wyden has been in Congress since 1981, first in the House and then in the Senate since 1996. He's the ranking member of the United States Senate Committee on Finance. The news comes as four Senate Democrats have so far announced retirement plans ahead of next year's midterm elections. That includes longtime Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who announced his retirement plans last week. I'm Bryce Dole, reporting.
Oregon lawmakers are considering a bill this year that would improve working conditions for Uber and Lyft drivers. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
In the decades since rideshare services came to Oregon, drivers say conditions have deteriorated. They told lawmakers about working long days for little money and being unable to take time off because they don't get sick pay. Some say they've had their accounts deactivated with no explanation. They also face threats to their own safety. Kelly Culvin's husband, Josh Culvin, was murdered last year while driving for Uber.
My husband worked six 12-hour days because Uber did not pay him. They took more than half of his fare.
Senate Bill 1166 is aimed at improving things. The bill would set minimum pay for drivers, grant them sick time, and step up protections from being hastily fired. Uber and Lyft oppose the bill, saying it will force them to hike the cost of rides and cut down on demand for drivers. The bill would put Oregon in league with Washington State and Minnesota, which already have pay requirements for rideshare drivers. In Salem, I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
The Trump administration told hundreds of climate scientists this week their services are no longer needed. The researchers had been putting together the nation's most comprehensive look at its changing climate. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The National Climate Assessment sums up what a hotter climate is doing to regions like the Northwest and what people can do about it. Until now, it's been put out every 4 years or so by unpaid scientists, including Christy Ebi of the University of Washington.
How incredibly disappointing. Every country in the world is doing some version of a National Climate Assessment. And to remove all of that information is going to put people, communities, businesses in difficult situations, unable to take actions that are needed.
The congressionally mandated report is now in limbo. Ebi says she assumes the next step is a lawsuit to revive it. The White House office that oversees the assessment did not respond to requests for comment. I'm John Ryan reporting.
The Trump administration has frozen funding and conducted mass layoffs. Now it proposes to eliminate Head Start completely. Administration officials argue this is part of Trump's effort to return control of education to the states and increase parental control. But Candace Vickers with Family Forward Oregon argues the move is short-sighted and unlawful.
When families are forced out of the workforce and they lose critical supports like Head Start, it costs businesses, it costs taxpayers, and it weakens our economy for generations to come.
If taken away entirely, the move would affect more than 800,000 young children and their families nationwide, including more than 12,000 in Oregon. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.